Good morning. It's good to be with you once again from the Bible Baptist Church. My, we had such a wonderful Sunday this past week, Saturday and Sunday. We had a Thanksgiving bus dinner on Saturday and had our auditorium just jammed and packed. And we saw people saved on that day. And then on Sunday, again, a great crowd came in. And just a wonderful weekend, how the Lord has been blessing us and been so good to us here and seeing so many spiritual decisions taking place. Last week, we were talking about the end times, the seven-year tribulation, and we talked about the 70-week vision seen in Daniel. This is a bit technical and a bit slow, but I think it's important that we understand the prophecy that comes from the book of Daniel concerning the end days. We spoke last week about the 7 weeks or 49 years, the time of the restoration of Israel. When they were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, Cyrus the king made a decree. Of course, he was directed by God, and he decreed that the Israelites could go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple and restore the city. That took a span of 49 years. And then we see the 62 weeks or the 434 years spoken in Daniel. And that span, that is a span of time between the final restoration of Jerusalem until the presentation of Jesus Christ to Israel. When he entered into the city on the foal of an ass, and he went in, the crowds were crying out behind him, Hosanna on the highest. And so that was the 434 years, the 62 weeks. And then the 1 week or seven-year period, which is known as the tribulation. There has been a gap between the second and the third period of almost 2,000 years. The second time being the announcement of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, and then the beginning of the tribulation period. It's been almost 2,000 years, and the third phase has not come into effect yet. And I believe this is a time the Lord has given the world for people to get saved, for the gospel to be spread throughout the whole world to all people, and that they would have an opportunity to know who Jesus Christ is and to be born again into his family before the rapture comes and takes all believers off the earth. And God has been gracious to this world and so good to us. And we see, thankfully, each and every week, through our ministries here, we're seeing people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And all believers ought to be spreading the good news and sharing what Jesus has done, not only for them, but what they could do for others, he could do for others also. Now, Christ gave a command to all believers when he went back to heaven. He stated in Luke chapter 19 and verse 13, he said, occupy till I come. The word occupy is an interesting word because it's talking about not just filling a space, occupying a space like we may understand it being today, but what he is referring to is to continue to build the kingdom of God and to grow the kingdom of God. And that is done through soul winning. That is done through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and through people getting saved and brought into the family of God. Now, the next event we're going to look at is the judgment of the seven seals. We look in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1 and verse 2, and we read, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering to conquer. Now, this is not a picture of Jesus Christ, although he too shall return to earth on a white horse. But this is a picture of the Antichrist rising to power. The bow represents his weapon, and he went forth, the scripture says, conquering. See, the Antichrist does not rise to power by peaceful means, but by force. You know, we need to be careful about how we are looking at current events and the end days as they are right now and the coming of Jesus Christ. And many people are trying to predict who maybe the Antichrist is and how it'll happen. But we must understand this is going to be happening by force, not in a peaceful manner. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 31 through 35 tells us, gives us another vision here, and it's important that we look at this. It helps us to understand what is going to be taking place and how the Antichrist does come to power. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 31, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet that were iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broke into pieces together and became like chaff of the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and that the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Now, in this vision, we see some events that have already happened historically and that have been prophesied, though, before they happen. The head of gold represented the Babylonian Empire, this same empire that took Israel into captivity for 70 years, that Cyrus the king at the time during this reign allowed the Israelites to go back and rebuild the temple and rebuild the city. But the head of the gold were the Babylonian Empire, and that was begun by Nebuchadnezzar, the lion. The breast and the arms were silver. This represents the next empire that came on the scene. That was the Persian Empire. And here we see Cyrus as the king, and he represents the bear. The belly and the thighs were made of brass. This represents the Grecian Empire. And this is led by Alexander the Great. We hear of him in history, and we hear of these other men in history. And these are the great empires that were prophesied about in the Bible. He represents the leopard. The legs of iron represented the Roman Empire. And the king that reigned there were different historical Caesars that were on the throne at the time, and it represents the monster. Now, the feet of iron and clay is the Antichrist, the revived Roman Empire. And the stone is the everlasting empire, Jesus Christ. We see that the Babylonian, the Persian, the Grecian, and the Roman Empire have already had their reign. They've already now are just read about in history. But we see there's another empire that's coming on, and that is the Antichrist, who will rule the world just like these kingdoms did in their day. And then eventually, after a short reign, Jesus Christ will create an everlasting empire here on the earth. Let me continue reading about this prophecy in Daniel chapter 7. There's a few verses here, a bit of a passage, and stay with me on this so we can get a full, complete understanding of what this vision is about. "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of things. The great beast, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped residue with his feet. And the ten horns that were in his head, and the other which came up, and before whom three fell. Even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth and spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the ancient days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all other kingdoms, from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of the kingdom are the ten kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion and consume and to destroy it unto the end. Again, the four world empires are passed over very quickly in verses 17 and 18 in which we just read. And the facts of the Antichrist empire, it tells us it'll rise out of the old Roman Empire. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, we read, and I saw in the night visions, and behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had ten horns. In verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like that of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And we jump down to verse 23 and 24. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, and shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread down and break it to pieces, break in pieces. And the ten horns out of the kingdom are ten kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue the three kings. We see here the Antichrist will grow out of Rome, which is obvious since the horns grow out of the beast. The Antichrist will persecute God's people. His kingdom will be based on the federation of ten kingdoms, which once joined together will make up his kingdom, which is often known as the revived Roman Empire, which is contrary to popular belief that he will rule the 7 years. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25 says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times of the dividing of time. You know, the white horse evidently is the rise of the Antichrist. The bow in his hand is for war. The little horn pictures the rise of the Antichrist in the midst of the ten kings who are to rule over ten kingdoms of the dissolved Roman Empire. If you were to take a map of history during the reign of the Roman Empire and draw a line around what was the Empire of Rome at that time, within that land space, there are nations now, kingdoms. They're different now than they were in the time of Rome, but there, within that kingdom or that old kingdom of Rome, there are 10 kings reigning, 10 nations reigning there, and they will rise up with the Antichrist in his time of power. And here is the rise of the man of sin to power. He is given a crown. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 6, It says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him." So he who was not a king becomes one by usurping thrones and overthrowing others by an act of war. He becomes a king. And here's probably the picture of the beginnings. And later, he'll commit the abomination of desolation. He'll break the covenant with Israel to stop the worship and the sacrifice to God in the midst of the covenant, or the 7 weeks, or as we're referring and understanding, the 7 years. Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 and 16 tell us, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." The Antichrist will make a covenant of peace with Israel, and they will go back to Old Testament sacrifices then. They will have an altar again. They'll worship again. Israel today does not accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah or the Savior of the world, the coming of God. They still look for him to come. And so they don't adhere to the New Testament at all, but just the Old Testament. And they'll go back to Old Testament practices of offering sacrifices. And in the middle of this time, 3.5 years through the 7-year tribulation period, there will be peace. But in the middle of that, the Antichrist will break that peace. He will offer an abomination upon the altars of Israel, something unholy to Israel, something that will disgrace the offerings. And he'll bring that there, and then he'll begin to persecute Israel. That's why in Matthew chapter 24, verse 16, it says, "Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains." Great persecution is going to come upon them from the Antichrist. The rise of the man of sin cannot be until after the rapture. All these events cannot happen until after the rapture comes. You know, we began this study a number of weeks ago talking about the different ideas of when the rapture will come. Of course, we teach in a pre-tribulation rapture that God will take his home, his people home before that last 7-year period or 7-week period. Before the Antichrist rises to power, we'll be gone. Some believe the rapture will take place in the middle. Some believe it'll take place at the end of the tribulation. But when I study the scripture, I'm led to believe and trust that the rapture takes place prior to the tribulation period. Let me touch on that just for a few moments. I know we don't have a lot of time left here. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 tells us, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." The day of Christ mentioned here in this passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 8, the day of Christ is a time when Jesus will set up his kingdom. And it says that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, it goes on to say, for that day shall not come except. It's very important that the words are accurate, so we have an accurate understanding of the things to come and what our Lord is saying. I spoke to someone recently, and they had an idea that a lot of Bibles are the same. The word's different a little here and there, but it doesn't make any difference because getting across the same truth. But that's a deception the devil likes to bring upon people, because the words of God are very important, every individual word. God proclaimed a curse on anyone that would change these words to take away or to add to these words. It's a very dangerous thing. There's many different versions of a Bible out in our world today, and many call them, say they're easier to read, they're simpler to read, they're more modern translation, but the fact is that almost every one of those, and I think every one, has changed the meanings of the words in many places. And it's very dangerous to have a Bible that is not accurate. And that is why I love the King James Bible. I use that. We preach from it here in our church, and we promote it. We use no other so-called version of a Bible, because there are no other versions. There's only one Bible that God has promised to preserve to every generation. And we hold that today. And so we look at the words, because the words have meaning. The words are very important to know the things of God accurately, instead of just having an inaccurate idea of these things. Now we notice here it says in verse 3, it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except. Now, that means something must happen first. So let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except something happens prior to that. Now, there are two things, and I'll get into that next week, but there are two things that must happen first before that day comes. That is, there comes a falling away first, and secondly, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Both of these must take place before the day of the Lord can begin, and neither one of them has taken place yet. And we're going to spend much more time next week looking at this and getting a very clear understanding of what these things are and what they really mean, what God is saying here. I'm not going to change the Bible. I'm just going to give a full thought on it and full understanding, I believe, on the Scriptures. You know, we talk about how wonderful Christ is and how he saves souls. And there may be somebody listening to this broadcast today that you're lost. And you know you're lost. And you know that you need to get saved. You need to come to Jesus. And I want to encourage you now to call upon him today, to receive him as your personal Savior. Just pray and talk to him and ask him to save your soul and receive you as his child. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to go to classes for this. You just simply need faith. Faith in the work of what Jesus has done, dying on the cross, paying for our sins, and faith that he is the only one that can forgive us of our sins and give us a gift called eternal life. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to call upon him today. If you have any questions, call us here at the church number 724-439-2519.